This is our league, and this is your league. From the 55-yard line on CFL America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Colorful province of Alberta, known among other things for its cattle ranches, oil wells, the Calgary Stampede, and those luxurious resorts on the eastern slopes of the Rocky Mountains. Here in the capital city of Edmonton, the signs of prosperity and expansion are all around us. In this heart of Western commerce, the clear-headed, cool-thinking pioneers of industry make the decisions that help shape our country's destiny.
Yes, look at that. Mr. Simmons, right this way.
Right here, please.
Thank you.
Well, did you get him?
Sure,
did you get him?
Lot, but it's going to cost you a small fortune.
Yeah. Money's no object. Well,
can we trust those two guys out there?
That'll be all, Val. That'll be all.
Yes, sir.
Here you are, boss, just like you wanted. Two tickets to the football game.
Bye. Bye.
As you can see, Westerners take their football pretty seriously. That's why football is our assignment for today. Right now, we're going to visit the Edmonton Eskimos. The guiding light behind this formidable club is 28-year-old Darryl Royal. Darryl hails from Oklahoma, and he's the youngest coach in the West. Darryl, my first impression is that the fellas aren't going to kill themselves at this practice session. They are wearing their pads and uniforms, and there don't seem to be any set number of plays going on.
Well, we never wear our pads once the season starts, Fred. We play two games on the weekend. We play on Saturday, and then we play again on Monday, so it's a little bit too strenuous to ask them to be in pads all week long. As far as not being organized out on the field now, actually our practice hasn't started. We don't have group calisthenics, and we more or less let the boys work out on their own and work on their individual weaknesses, and if they have a particular muscle that needs loosening up, well, he spends more time at that.
Well, that sounds more efficient. In other words, you don't want to put the each man through the same set of exercises. Is that the idea?
That's right. If one fellow has a sore shoulder or a tight leg muscle, he'll have to spend more time on that particular muscle than would any other individual on the squad. If we have group calisthenics, I don't feel like that each individual is getting what he needs. We more or less put them on their own out there and let them limber up in that manner.
Ah!
Okay,
I don't
know. Well, isn't that a bit risky? Don't you find that some of the fellas might be inclined to taper off a bit, leaving them on their own like that?
I feel this way about it, Fred, that one or two individuals probably will take advantage of that type of thing, but if you have your squad as a whole taking advantage of that type of thing, you don't have a squad that has the right mental attitude to play football anyway. I think everyone has to have individual pride and pride in doing their job good as an individual. And most of the guys, if you put them on that basis and tell them they're on their own, they will fall in line. Of course, you have one or two that will goof off on you, but I feel like what we gain otherwise will compensate for what we lose in the one or two individuals.
Well, then a good team spirit as you have here would make your job a little easier, wouldn't it?
Well, it is. I've been very fortunate to have a group of boys like we have here. We do have very good team spirit, I feel, and all of the boys more or less police the others. If one guy sort of takes advantage of one lax part of training that we have, then the rest of the individuals will get on his back and ride him so hard that he won't do it the next time.
That sounds good.
Darrell, ever since we came west, we've been hearing a lot about this split T formation that you've been using. I guess you're sold on that idea, are you?
Well, I am. That's the formation that we use, Fred, but far too much has been said about the formation. Actually, the split T doesn't possess any mysteries that haven't been solved. You still win your ball games by blocking and tackling and basic fundamentals. It just happens to be the particular type of formation that we're using.
Do you think a non-football expert like myself could have it explained?
Well, I've been asked that question on several different occasions, mostly at luncheons, service club luncheons and things, but I usually use a blackboard to explain it. This is what it amounts to. The diagram that you're looking at on the board now is of a tight T formation, and if you'll notice, the linemen are in tight to each other, the guard's close to the center, the tackle is close to the guard, and so on. And just above that, I'll try to draw up the split T formation and try to show you how it contrasts with the standard or conventional tight T formation. Now, if you'll visualize the tight T at the bottom is coming up the board with their offense, and the split T that's above will be coming down the board. Now, in the split T, you'll notice that the guards are split out from the center, the tackles are split out from the guards, and the ends are split from the tackles. In other words, there's splits all along the line. And that's how the name split T was first given to this particular formation.
Now that you've seen the split T on the blackboard, let's see how it works on the field in slow motion. And notice particularly how the line is spread out and the fact that the quarterback has the option of either running with the ball or passing it off. Here's that same play at normal speed.
Oh, listen to him, listen to him. Oh.
By the way, this is a good time for us to meet some of the key players on the Edmonton football team. Billy Vessels, halfback, triple threat man in passing, running, and receiving. Rolly Miles plays halfback, a fine broken field runner. Johnny Kwong, fullback, the China Clipper, great end, blocker. On the line, Jim Quandamateo, guard. Jim is an exceptional blocker. And Steve Mendrick. He plays back and is a vital factor in the Edmonton defense setup. Here we see him in his non-playing capacity as coach for a local high school, West Glen. Incidentally, several members of the Eskimo team give their time to training young football players, thus providing a potential source of good material for future teams. But getting back to a professional team, there's more to the science of football than workouts on a practice field.
Charlie, Regina's been using this 6-3 just about all the way. What do you think? Their middle linebackers run
the use of moving pictures has become a very important part of coaching a modern football team. And Darrell Royal is a firm believer of this. Every week, he and line coach Charlie Sharrow go over the films of recent games prior to showing them to the players themselves. Excuse me, Darrell. What exactly are you looking for in these film sessions of yours?
Well, Fred, that's a pretty hard question to answer, to say exactly what we're looking for. Actually, we go over the film from beginning to end, and we try to find out what mistakes we make offensively and defensively, as well as the good plays that we make offensively and defensively.
And I suppose you're looking at the other team, too, to see what they've been able to pull off, eh?
Yes, and I might say that the teams in this league have been very successful against us in their endeavors, too. Of course, we picked up some of their stuff and added into our attack, so it's very valuable to us to go over their offense and defense because we can add it to our organization.
Well, when you're discussing this with Charlie in a case like this, I suppose you're preparing what you're going to say and show the team. You do show these things to the team themselves, don't you?
Yes, we go over the film first. We spend about 4 hours going over the film and pick out the points that we want to stress and impress on their minds and have that organized before we actually call them into the squad meeting.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, do you use it as a sort of a disciplinary measure? Could you ball a man out if he did something wrong as well as pat him on the back if he did a good job?
Well, we try to keep from balling anyone out. We like to more or less find a good example to point out to him and say, this is what we want, and point out the mistake. Say, but we try to stay away from the balling out point of the thing altogether.
I see. What about the particular scene you were looking at when I walked in? What was that?
Well, I could explain it to you, Fred, a lot better on the screen if you'd like to see the play.
Fine, I'd like to very much.
This particular play is a quick handoff from Claude Arnold, our quarterback, to Billy Vessels, the right half, left halfback. Billy goes 85 yards on the play to score.
Man, that's a terrific run.
Yes, that was a very good run, Fred, but if you back it up and analyze it from the coach's viewpoint, you'll find out exactly what we're talking about, and that it's not just what meets the spectator's eye all the time that makes a play a success. Now, we review this play and go back over it and see exactly why it's successful. If you'd like, I'll reverse the camera and projector and take it back on the play and show you actually why the play was successful.
Fine.
Our men are in the dark jerseys here, and I'd like to point out the men that actually make the blocks that make the play go. If you'll notice here, the left end, Frankie Anderson, our left tackle, Leon Manley, and our left guard, Joe Blanchard. Watch these three men right here, and you'll see their blocks and how effective they are. And look what a tremendous hole right in here that Vessels runs through on the play. Take it on back a step further, and wonder why some of these men on the back side over here did not get in on the play. Well, look at the blocks on the other side. Jim Quantamanteo is playing right guard. Look at his block. Beautiful block by Jim. Wilbur Snyder, the right tackle. And then Tom Stolhansky, our right end, releases and comes on over in front of the play. Now, with that kind of blocking, you might say that about anyone can carry a ball through that hole. But if you'll notice, this man right here, number 88 in the white jersey, is not blocked. And Vessels has to evade him and run by him. So actually, every man on the team carried out his assignment to perfection, which results in a long run for a touchdown. Vessels evades number 88 and then goes on 85 yards to score. Well, I guess that's about it, Fred, except we do the same thing on every play in the entire game.
And now that when you've finished looking at the picture, you're ready for that session with the team. What do you call that?
Well, we call it a squad meeting, and they have a little steak dinner out there at one of the local hotels for the boys, and we have a private room there, and we have our portable screen. We set it up and show them the picture and go over their mistakes as well as their good plays.
That sounds a nice way to learn something over a steak dinner. You're combining business and pleasure, eh?
That's the only way we can get the boys to show up.
I see. Well, thanks very much for your time, Darryl. And that brings to a close our behind-the-scenes assignment on the Edmonton Eskimo football team. This is Fred Davis, hoping you'll join us again next week at the same time when the National Film Board presents another on-the-spot Canadian story.
Hi there. You must be a new football player. Could I have your autograph? But I collect autographs.
Yes, I know.
Oh, but I just love football players.